Shalom, good evening, everybody. Shalom. Okay, so welcome back to the Chavos HaLevavos Shara B'Tochen Vaad, which we haven't had for quite a while. I think we were holding by the beginning of Perek Gimel. That's where I think we were holding, unless I'm incorrect, just remind me. But I think that's where we were holding. So at the beginning of Perek Gimel, he mentions that in order for a person's betochen to be sholem, in order to have total betochen, he needs to understand and a full imuna in five essential principles. And the first one, the first of those essential principles, was that he says, yeah, Shiyamin Adam v'yibor lo shem tzoyim etzela elokim shivas hatnoyim, the seven tnoyim that we mentioned in Perek Beis, that you would have to have in order to have a tochen in a friend, in order to have a tochen in somebody, you would have to fulfill seven conditions. And as we mentioned, he mentioned that those seven conditions are only, you'll only find those by Hashem. You won't find those seven conditions by any human. So the Hagdama Rishoina, the first of the five principles you need in order to have Betochen Sholem, is you have to believe, you have to have Imuna. Yeah, Imuna doesn't mean believe, it means you have to have clarity, you have to have internalized those seven principles by Hashem. And then he goes through each one of them again. He goes through these seven conditions again. As I mentioned, he doesn't do it exactly the same as before, and he doesn't do the same order. Big discussion, what's going on here. Before in Perek Beis, he's talking about a person. Yeah, he's talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we'll see. We'll go through those seven Tnaim again. And then that's Hagdama Rishoina. So the Hagdama Rishoina, let's just get this clear where we are here. The Hagdama Rishoina is one of the five Hagdamas that he says you have to have in order to have B'tochen Sholem. You have to have these five Hagdamas clear. The first of those five Hagdamas are the seven principles he mentioned, the seven conditions he mentioned in Perek Beis. So now he goes through them again. And you obviously understand there's a Rishon, he could have just said, see Perek Beis, but he doesn't. He goes through each one again, and you'll see there's subtle differences. It's a whole limud. I don't want to do that now because we're going to get caught up in a whole limud, yeah? Where it's relevant, we'll mention it. But let's just go through them again here as they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see where he goes with that. HaTnai HaRishon, the first of the seven Tnai, remember we're in the Hagdama Rishoina. Shabbos Baruch Marachem Al Adam Yosem Mikol Marachem. The first one is that Hashem has Rachamim on a person more than anybody can have Rachamim. His Rachamim is infinite. V'lo Oid, now he adds an interesting thing. Ela Shekol Rachmanut V'chemla Sheyesh L'mishu Al Adam. All rachmanas that you'll see in the world that anybody has for anybody else, he meharachamim v'hachemle shenosin akel b'libo. That's because Hashem gave him the rachamim in his heart. You'll tell me, well, I have a friend who's completely, my mother, totally rachamim for me, unbelievable, infinite rachamim for a child. Yeah, because she gets that from Hashem. We'll see now. Kamo Shama Kosu, the Pasuk says, V'nosin l'cho rachamim, v'richamcho v'hirbecho. Hashem says, I'm giving you rachamim. That's where it comes from. V'nosin l'cho, Hashem gives to you rachamim. And therefore you have rachamim v'hirbecho, and you will proliferate. So we see he adds that. He didn't mention any Perek Beis, obviously, because he wasn't talking about Hashem. He's talking about a person. But yeah, he says that all the rachamim in the world that you see, whenever you see rachamim, that's because Hashem gave the person rachamim. So there's a very interesting shtickle here. Rav Matisyahu in his pirush on Shara B'Tochen has a very interesting piece. I thought we'll go through it. He speaks us out. He doesn't speak out too many things at great length. This he speaks out at length, so it's obviously important. But we'll go through it together. It's a very, very interesting piece in the Matnas Chelkoi, in his Pirush on Chovos HaLevavos in Shara B'Tochen. So Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashgiach says like this. He says, very interesting, yeah. רצה לומר בזה, שכל רחמנות שנמצא בעולם, כגון רחמי האם על בונו, all the rachamim you'll find in the world, for example, a mother has rachamim on a child, everyone agree that a mother has rachamim for a child, who be'emes mimshum shakorosh bochum merachem al ben. That's only because Hashem's merachem al ben. What do you mean? If Hashem wasn't merachem al ben, the mother wouldn't be rachem on the child? The mother wouldn't have rachamim for the child? He says, yes. בכל עניין שהוא זוקק לרחמנות וחמל כדי שיתפתח ויסגדו כרוי ועל האופן הנכון. In every aspect that he needs rachamim and he needs mercy in order that he will grow and develop the way he's supposed to, the correct way. ולכן נויסן המשפיע במילס הרחמנות שלו להאם כדי שתרחם היא אלבונה. Therefore Hashem gives her rachamim so that she'll have rachamim for the child. Dugma cheres. Adam ha'ilech b'rachov, v'roi ish oni. V'rachem alav, v'noi selo ma shetzarech. You're walking down the street, and there's a beggar, there's a poor man in the street, and you have mercy for him, and you give him what he needs. You know, you take care of him, you give him some money, you give him some food, whatever. Mein ba'at oloi rachmanut zu. Where did you get this rachmanut? Where did you get this mercy from? You think you're a nice guy? That's why you did it? No, you got that from Hashem. Hashem gave you that rachmanut. You don't have it intrinsically. That's a big surprise. I thought I was a nice guy. I thought I have rachamim for, you know, for poor people, whatever. No, you got that from Hashem. If Hashem didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. So what would I look like if Hashem didn't give me rachamim? Shemitzad atzmoy. Because mitzad yourself, if Hashem didn't give you this piece of rachamim, his rachamim, you would just ignore the oni and you'd carry on your way. You just keep on going. You would see the guy sitting there and you go, no, tat, tat, and off you'd go, you know. Well, tough for him. And off you would go. V'afilu im haya oitzel lezman mo'it u'metapu bo k'tzat. Lo ayem ha'sed in yonah k'roi. If you'd stop for a minute, you give him 50 agarot, whatever, but you wouldn't take time out to help this guy get back on his feet. Hashem has rachamim on the oni, that's no disputing, that's for sure. The oni, Hashem has rachamim on the oni, because Hashem has rachamim on everything. Hashem has rachamim on everything. Noisen. Miharachamanut shelo la'odom zeh k'day shirachem hu alav. Hashem gives him part of his rachamim in order that he will have rachamim on the oni. V'kiven shemidas harachmanut bo me'akolosh boruch hu nimtze shu amarachem v'lo zulose. Therefore, since all rachamim in the world comes from Hashem, it means that Hashem is rachamim on you, not the person who you think is being nice to you. That's amazing. Chiddush. Unbelievable chiddush, but that's what the pasuk says. V'ha yosod shel ein oid milvadoi, and that is the foundation of ein oid milvadoi. Very interesting application of ein oid milvadoi. Yeah. Shein davar ba'olam zulus ha'bo'iris baruch. There's nothing in the world other than Hashem. There's nothing in the world. There is only Hashem. So when you see somebody stopping and caring and really being, you know, really doing chesed with another person, you're seeing Hashem in the world. That's a gilu of the rachamim of Hashem in the world. That's what you see. Shein davar ba'olam zulus ha'bo'iris baruch. V'chein b'inyoneinu ein metzias shel rachamim ba'olam zulus ha'bo'iris baruch. There is no metzias of rachamim in the world except what Hashem gave to a person. A major ramification. I mean, you stop and meditate and think about this for a few hours. It's quite astounding. You know, wow, he's a really nice guy. Wow, he's got such rachamim. He's unbelievable. Nah, he's not such a nice guy. He's not so merciful. What are you talking about? So that means I don't have to work on this? It means I just get it and that's it. I take it. And if I didn't get it, I don't get it. We have to see. So this is not so simple, this. Anyway, he says something here quite frightening. He said, actually, this is deeper than what we've just said. We haven't even understood what he said up to now. He wants to go deeper already. Sharei mitzat teva ha'yisa tzricha aim le'achzor achzorius g'doy la'obono. Okay, you have to hold tight, yeah? He's saying something here that's quite shocking, but he'll work it through. You'll see, yeah, this is you're not allowed to say this in public because you'll get stoned, but he's saying it. That's what he's saying. But teva, natural. A mother should mamash be cruel to her child. Achzorias gedoyle, not just cruel, real, proper, big cruel. Ugomoshakosav Rabbeinu Behemshech, as the Chovas HaLevavos himself would explain later, Shevateva Dvarim Ayisa Tzricha Lishnois Bono. She should really hate her son, but Bederach HaTeva. Shehu Mafrielo, Umatricho. This little nudnik, this guy that's just been born, you all know how much trouble he's worth. He mamish disturbs her, he wakes her up, he causes her untold tzoros. Metanefo, so he dirties her, you know, he brings up on her and he messes it. What are you talking about? If anyone else would do that to your wife, you throw him out the house. So Bederach HaTeva, this guy is absolutely not worth, he's not worth the trouble. And it's shocking. Nobody would go along with that. Everybody knows that's not true. Why is it that's not true? We'll see. Tipol ha'emim yalada hu kulu tirde v'tircha gedoyla. Bringing up a child is all one big pain after the other. You know, and then they become teenagers. It gets even worse. You know, you wonder why you bothered. You know, and then you start getting nachas again afterwards. I go through that. Then you start, okay, but 25 years of torture, you know, and terrorizing you. Why do you love them? Why do you have rachamim on them? Why are you still there for them? But derech ha'teva, you shouldn't. He's right. He says, you see, by the way, he told me, Rav Matisyahu, Shtagen Gesundzan told me that he went to Goyish schools. He said his generation had it easier than our generation because he said he knows the difference between a Jew and a Goy because he went to Goyish schools. The kids today, they grow up, you know, they only see from people. They don't see anybody else. They don't have a musag of what a non-Jew is. So when he's talking about the Ummah Sa'ilam, he had personal experience with them. He grew up in London, and he went through the system there. They weren't from schools when he was growing up, and he was at school with a lot of not so pleasant Englishmen. So he said Shem. So he says, you see that that's the Ummah Sa'ilam. Shem lukuim b'inyan ze umakim v'choivlim b'benayim. Child abuse is a very well-known problem in the world today. I don't know of a country that doesn't have a child welfare organization. Why do you have a child welfare organization? Because someone needs to take care of the kids because the parents are abusing them and beating them up, and who knows what they do to them. Not only they don't bring them up properly and take care of them, but on the contrary, their mamash, they cause them pain and they damage them. Ela she'akodesh Baruch Hu hidbir b'nefesh ha'aim t'chuna zu she'terecham alav bono. Hashem puts in the heart of the mother this mid of rachamim, that's his mid of rachamim. It's interesting that he's saying the rachamim is on the mother. It says k'rachem aval bonim. It doesn't say that by the mother. It says k'rachem aval bonim. So we also have some rachamim, the fathers. We also have a bit of rachamim on our boys and our daughters, the boys and the girls. But yeah, he's talking about your mother, that the mother, Hashem puts into the mother this mid of rachamim, which is his mid of rachamim. When a mother's having rachamim on a child, she's totally connected with a Kodesh Baruch Hu at that point. Because that mid of rachamim is his. So you're being him. You have to watch this inside. It's unbelievable. It's not that she just has a bit of mercy, she has a bit of rachamim for the child. She doesn't just have mercy on him, but she loves him. And she's happy to put up with all this nonsense. She's happy to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and feed him and burp him and change him and lose sleep and happy to do it. You know, it's unbelievable. The child thinks it's nothing. He sings Magirli. The child thinks, of course, and that's what mothers are. You know, that's what a mother's supposed to do in the world. You're supposed to be there and do everything I need you to do. But we know that that's not so poshut. Where does she get that from? Where does he get it from, the father? Because you're tapping into a Kodesh Baruch Hu's midas. This unbelievable thing that you see that parents have for children, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Megali himself in you through that midah. He says, learns it from that pasuk which he mentioned earlier, that pasuk from Dvarim. Very nice, this, yeah? So he goes further and he says, there's another aspect here about this subject that we've just mentioned. You have people in the world that they were never educated in the Emunah in Hashem. They don't know anything about it, and they don't have any Emunah bichlal because they were never exposed to this knowledge. He's touching on a very sensitive subject, yeah. It wasn't really relevant to what we're dealing with, but once we're doing it, he brings it. Yeah, I thought it's a nice, just the way he goes through this is very, very nice. And they ask very strongly, very, very harshly on the question about Churban Europa. Because if you're telling me that Rachamim is all from Hashem, and Hashem is infinite Rachamim, so how did he cook up an Auschwitz? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, we all have this question. You know, what was the Holocaust about? You know, where was God in the Holocaust? That kind of a, you know. V'tayivim mimenu k'viyochul al oisit the kufamora. And they have like some claim. They have some taina against Hashem on that terrible period. Bitter. Hem leim meleim kushiot. They're full of kashas. Eich kitochen shelomon Hashem isparach ma shiir ba'isim yomim. Tell me, if Hashem is all powerful, he couldn't stop what was going on. He couldn't sort of like swoop down, you know, like Superman, you know, sort of swoop down and solve all the problems and then stop that terrible happening from happening. Where was Hashem in that terrible moment? Why wasn't he there? Why didn't he prevent it? It's like Rav Nachman is used to say, people think that Hashem is like Superman. You know, Hashem sort of sits in a cloud in Shemaim or whatever, he does whatever he's doing, he's busy doing whatever he's doing, and he looks down and he sees somebody in real trouble. You know, somebody got into real trouble, he's about to fall off a cliff or whatever, or he's fallen off a cliff, and Hashem sort of swoops down and saves him at the last minute before he becomes part of the scenery. That's how we think of Hashem. That's not Hashem. Who do you think pushed you off the cliff in the first place? You're falling off the cliff because Hashem threw you off a cliff. Hashem is not Superman who sort of like swoops down and saves you at the last minute from natural occurrences. Those things we call natural occurrences or Holocaust or whatever, that's Hashem. But they have these questions. Yeah, why didn't Hashem stop the Holocaust? I've got a bigger question. Why did he start it? Who made the Holocaust? And I mean, we have that question today as well, no? I mean, we're not grappling with a terrible Yisurim and a terrible Matzif in the world today. And you can ask yourself, so why doesn't Hashem stop it? We're davening every day for refuahs and Yeshuas and Mashiach should come and whatever. And we did a terrible Matzif. And why doesn't Hashem swoop down and do his Superman stint and save everybody? Rabbi Yisrael, where do you think the problem came from? China? Okay, fine. So we'll blame the Chinese. You know, and then Hashem will save us from that. No, who do you think made this thing? Hashem. Anyway, that's the questions that he's bringing down now. Okay, so yeah, before we get to that, that's the ones who don't have Emunah. Those are the kind of questions they ask. And then now we'll see what the Ma'aminim say. Yes, Rabbi Yosef.
I was just going to say, a lot of the questions that Rav was mentioning, it comes down to the why did bad things happen to the people question. It's all incorporated, no?
Why do bad things happen to bad people? I mean, no one was bad enough to deserve to go to Auschwitz. I mean, wow, you know, I mean, you know, God's bad. He's the worst. He's terrible, you know, fine. So you hang him, you put him in prison for 20 years or whatever. I mean, you know, you're right. That's the question everybody asks. You know, why did bad things happen to good people? You know, that's tzaddik for tovel or tzaddik for ra'al, that you have to come to the morning vat to grapple with. There we grapple with that, you know, yourself in depth. We go into that sugya. We just finished the whole sugya of Anogos HaYichud. That deals with that sugi in depth. But even why do bad things happen to bad people? You can ask that question. I deserve a punishment. Who deserves that kind of torture? You know, no one's that bad. You know, I mean, okay, maybe a few real evil people, like you get your Hitler, your Machshmois in the world, whatever, but the average bad person is not so bad. I mean, You know, so the question's even further than why do good things, bad things happen to good people? You know, no one's ever bothered when he's a bad guy, why do good things happen to good bad people? You know, no one's bothered by that too much. It's not, you know, good, well, I deserve it. I'm a good guy, you know. Yeah, so you know, those are all the questions that people who don't have emunah ask these questions. Where it's all like one question, like where was God in the Holocaust? You know, it's a very Jewish question to ask. Where was God in the Holocaust? Okay. Rav Taub always used to say, where wasn't God in the Holocaust? He said, I was there. Trust me, Hashem was everywhere. If you just half opened your eyes, you saw Hashem and everything that was going on there. Because you couldn't miss Hashem in the Holocaust. And even more than that, Hashem tells you that he's going to do it. You go through the Tochacha and the Klalos in the Chumash. Hashem describes exactly what he's going to do in the Holocaust. And physically, most of what happened in the Holocaust couldn't have happened a generation before. Because technologically, it wasn't Shaykh. How does one person chase 1,000? That's what it says. It says 1,000... One of them will chase 1,000 of you. Explain to me how you do that. 1,000, why don't they turn around and just beat up the one guy, you know? Well, how'd you do that? We said he's going to stab, you know, he's going to stab 1,000 people. So while he's stabbing the one guy, the other 999 jump on him and beat him up. Well, how do you explain those psukim in the Chumash? How's one person going to pursue 1,000? So in the Holocaust, you understood how that happened. You need one German soldier, Yamach Shmoy, with a gun, and everybody's stuck. You know, so not only was Hashem in the Holocaust, but Hashem told you before that this is what he was going to do, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. But we ma'aminim, you see. So for us, even though it's hard for us to swallow, it's still bitter. It's a very bitter pull. But we know, we have imunah to know, she's a lotova, it's good, whatever. But what about the love ma'aminim? That's what he's grieving with. So they have these terrible questions, he says, on the Holocaust. Then he says, la ma'aminim yishnam kamati rutzim v'drochim shal piyem efshe lahavin atza v'yusurim shal bnei odom b'zeh ha'oilam. Ma'aminim, he says, have different ways, different approaches. We have from the Gemara's already, from Rishonim, how we deal with understanding the pain and the suffering that people go through in this world. We dealt with much of that in the morning Vard in Pirkei Machshava. We dealt with a lot of those questions about suffering in the world. Kibbalis Yisurim Ba'ava. We have drachim, we have ways, plenty different ways. The Chazon Ish deals with it in Emunah B'Toch and many different approaches to deal with that. Aval Oysam She'ein Yoidim Min Yoneh Ha'emunah. But those who don't have imuna, they don't have any understanding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they ask lots and lots of questions. You're going to ask me now, what does this have to do with the fact that Hashem gives rachamim to us? Where does this fit in? You'll see, it's amazing what he says. I'm just watching the clock. I want to finish this before we stop. Amnam. All their questions are actually one question. They're based on one yesod. Sha'imrim, Shema Shena Si Az, Oma Sheosa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo Eya Bo Midas HaYosha. What's their taina? The taina that what Hashem did wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It wasn't straight. It wasn't a good midah. The law Midas HaYosha. The law. You unleash such an evil man in the world, and he does such evil to such good holy people. There's an Omi Midas HaYosha. That's their taina ultimately. That's what their taina is based on. Amnam, Shaila Achas Yeshli Shol Mipim. There's one question you ask this guy. Me'ein heim yoidim mani kray yosha v'nochon u ma'ein kray yosha v'nochon. How do they know what's called correct and incorrect, what's good and bad, what's yosha, what's not yosha? Where do they get that from? I think one thing's yosha, you think another thing's yosha. You think killing people is terrible? I think it's wonderful. You know, the mass murderer thinks it's gewaldic. So where do you have a standard? What's your benchmark of what's called nochon v'yosha? You have to ask them. Mi moselem yosodes eli v'shikel adas b'zeh? Who gave them the fundamental principles? Yeah, and who told them how to weigh it up? Hakol bolehem mirikshei bnei adam mitivom. This anger towards Hashem in the Holocaust comes because Hashem gave you, embellished you with natural emotions, with natural feelings. Achen mi chononom b'midah zu shel rachmanut v'yoshus. who bestowed upon you a midah of rachamim and yoshus? Then I translate yoshus, straightness. I don't exactly know what the correct English translation for the word yoshus is. Yoshus, honest, maybe, I don't know, doesn't work. Yoshus is yoshus. Where do you get that from? Hello, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedeksiv v'nosen lecha rachamim. The reason why you're upset with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the Holocaust is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you his midas of rachamim. If you would acknowledge and understand, accept this yesod, you wouldn't have any questions. Not one question would he have. Because you're upset with Hashem of the Holocaust because of your midah of rachamim. But your midah of rachamim is Hashem. You got that from Hashem. So what, Hashem didn't have rachamim? Hashem's rachamim is much bigger than yours. And you know what your rachamim looks like. Your rachamim is so strong that your mamash is angry because how did Hashem do such a thing? It's not fair. The Lord Yasha. So you think Hashem doesn't have rachamim? So they have to step back and go, whoa, I don't understand. I don't understand. Oh, you don't understand. That's how Ma'amin deals with questions that he can't understand. He knows there's a Rabbi Shalom who has infinitely more rachamim and love and caring and wants what's best for his children than you can even begin to understand. But you have a taste of what that feels like because you have some of those midas which you got from Hashem yourself. And therefore, you understand that you don't understand. And therefore, you don't have any kashas. I remember once many, many years ago, I'm going back, way back, I don't even want to give my age away. They had I don't know why they did it, it was like a silly thing to do, but when Rav Moshe Sternbuch was living in South Africa, so they interviewed him on the radio. Now, we often wanted to bring Rav Moshe to speak in the yeshiva, and people warned me, you can't, because you never know what he's going to say. You know, if you're doing Kiruv, I'm talking about in a Kiruv environment, I'm talking about back in South Africa in the day, Rav Moshe is wild. Rav Moshe could, you know, you never know what he's going to say. So you don't like bring him to speak in front of a bunch of secular people because he can almost wipe the floor with them. He could be very sweet and nice. You just never knew what he was. Very unpredictable, Rav Moshe. A very big man. Anyway, so they interviewed him on the radio, on secular radio. Almost, I don't know how that happened, but whatever. So obviously they have Rav Moshe sitting there and they whip him with this question, you know, like where was God in the Holocaust? What happened? You know, they boom him with that one straight. So Moshe, very, very proper English accent, turned around and said, for somebody who believes in God, there are no questions. And for someone who doesn't, there are absolutely no answers. Any more questions? Now that was like end of the interview, you know, it was over. You know, it was like, but that's what we're saying here. If somebody has Imuna, understands what Hashem is, but he's taking it one step deeper. It's Moedik what he's done here, the Mashgiach. He's showing you that you can relate and to connect to that midah of rachamim that Hashem has, because you got it from him. That's a piece of him that's floating around inside of you. Your natural teva anger, frustration, whatever you want to call it, when you think about the Holocaust, yeah, is because Hashem gave you that midah. That's how he feels. That's why he let it happen. Good, okay. That Ma'aminim don't ask those questions. Because, you know, ultimately, wherever that was good, that's not the question now. But it's an application of this guy that's so angry with Hashem because of the Holocaust. Why is he angry with Hashem? Because of the Holocaust. In an arbitrary world, who says that you have to be good or bad or not good, or who determines what's good or bad? You know, if in a big bang, you know, where everything just kind of happened, whatever, which electrons decided to be good and which electrons decided to be evil? Well, there is no good or bad. There's no accountability because there's no ultimate judgment. So the fact that you call the Holocaust bad and evil is because you have something inside of yourself that's judging that from a place. Where are you getting that from? That's from Hashem. That's amazing, amazing insight that he's saying here. It's a different approach to the one we used to. I don't know where I got up to. Kareem Roim Echat Shuyodaili Ish Yosha Batachlis Hayosha Dvorim Shinirim Kiilu Ainim Bekava Yosha. You know somebody who you've had a lot of experience with, and you know that this guy's as straight as the day is long, and he's the sweetest, nicest guy. You see him doing something which appears to be not so pleasant, yeah? You seem doing the exact opposite of what would be considered Yosha in that situation. You would say, one second, I quite don't understand what's going on here. I know this guy. Yeah, I happen to know this guy. And if he's doing something which on the surface looks like the opposite of what he should be doing, obviously I don't understand what's going on. There's a part of being Donna Kavschusia as well, that Mida also comes in. But even without that, you understand, you know this guy, you have a track record with him. And you know who he is. And you suddenly see him doing something that's out of character. You go, psh, I don't understand. How much more so about the Rabbeinu Shalom? There's nothing more Yosha than him in the world, yeah? Ve'ein rachaman kamoy ba'olam. And there's no rachaman like him in the world. Shem oisa dvorim shenirim lacherim she'einu nikroim yesharim. You see him doing things which look, wow, you know, they don't look so nice. What's he up to, ya? Chayvim liklois hachasorin biyedias haroi v'havanosu. You say, okay, I don't understand. You have to hang that on, I don't understand. That's fine not to understand Hashem. That's understood that you don't understand Hashem. The behechrach nibatze mi'itanu la'avin kolinyan, o she'ein ani yoidim kol prati asipu, imanashim eilu. You don't know the whole story. We have dozens of examples of, you know, with Eliyahu HaNavi draying around and doing things which seem to be the exact opposite of Yosha. And afterwards, he explained it to him, to Bribushu, and told him, no, no. And then he understood why everything was perfect, even though it looked terribly cruel. You know, he killed that lovely couple. They had the cow, and he killed the cow. You know, and we're like, whoa, yeah, because it saved the husband's life. You know, you have to say, okay, I don't understand. As Shaina Yodim called Pratya Sipu, we don't know the whole story. Because Shaina Ma'amin Kurei Bashem, Umin Doisav, Ain Mokum Klal Lakushir Sayyidu. When a person is properly Munan Hashem, there's no place for any of these questions. Well, Achas Kama Vakama, Im Riksha Yoshev Arachamim, Shenitadu Beim Bnei Adam, Mako Michavatsova Miakolish Bochu, Bekfeyde Batsmo, especially when your feelings of indignity, of indignance, your feelings of anger, for saying to Hashem, the Makor of those feelings is Hashem himself. The only reason you're upset with Hashem is because Hashem gave you this mid of Rachamim. So you understand? Harachamutva Yoshe, Sheyesh Adam Hemrak, Beboy, the Beboy, Mama, Mima, Sheyesh Lokolish Bochu. This feeling of rachamim, mercy, whatever the midah is, ava, whatever you're feeling, that comes from Hashem. V'im kaim vada she'ein afidu la'alot al adas she'esh mokem la'hava mino shol kushyos. Therefore, I can't even enter into your mind to even ever have a mino of a kasha. D'val kochach ein lanu kol ha'yedias, and it's sarach l'dov hazeh. We don't have all the information. We're lacking a whole lot of data. You know, like, were you around when Hashem created the world? Do you know where the world has to get to? Do you know what Hashem's preparing us for? We don't know anything. We don't know BMS what the correct application of Rachamim and Yoshe in this particular situation is. You don't know the past, you don't know the future. All this he says, including what the Chovos HaLevavos is teaching us, yeah, in the first of the Tnaim, in the first of the Hagdomas. And that is that every Rachamim you see in the world comes from Hashem. And this whole binyan of Imunah that he's just built here comes from that Yesod. If you feel upset about the Holocaust, and hopefully you do feel upset about the Holocaust, it's only because Hashem gave you that midah of Rachamim. And I've gone over time here, but there's a wonderful shiur that Rebecca once gave in the yeshiva a long time ago. Basically, I can't remember what the title was. I'll dredge it up. It's on the website there somewhere. I'll find it. There's a whole bunch of yeshirim there. But the question he asked was, is, you have a mitzvah to love Hashem, yeah? The mitzvah of Avos Hashem. So he asked the following question. How do you get warm and cuddly with the guy that made Auschwitz? That was his question. That's a real hard question. Yeah, that's a real Musa Avoida question. You have a mitzvah of Hashem. You have to love Hashem. Yeah? To love Hashem. Yeah? How do you love the guy that invented Auschwitz? How do you do that? That's an unbelievable question. He went through it very beautifully. His mother's a Holocaust survivor. Interesting story. His mother was a very interesting character in the Holocaust, very well known. The bottom line is that he gave that share. I don't remember the title, so, but I'm sure I can find it. If you remind me, I'll look for it. I'll see if I can find it on the site. I remember that share. Was anybody, that's anybody here? Rabbi Karpus? No, there's nobody here from that Tekufa. Okay. So, I'm sorry, I went over time a little bit, but it's good to see that shtickle from Rabbi Matisyahu. And Mirtz Hashem will carry on. We'll carry on next week. So, I'm not in a hurry. If you've got any questions or whatever, I'm happy to.
Yes, please. I want to understand. How come he only associates rachamim that you have from Hashem? Clearly, everything's from Hashem. If he's associating the rachamim with Einod Mavada, everything you have is Einod Mavada. Everything that you experience is put from. It's a piece of Hashem. I mean, that's what you. It would seem like.
Yeah, but what can I do? We're dealing with a pasuk. Yeah, but again, Achinami. But he's explaining a pshat in a Chovos HaLevavos that's talking about Hashem's rachamim, and Hashem says there, the pasuk says that I gave you rachamim. So that's all he's dealing with. But you're right. you can't ask a person who's writing a pirush in the Chovos HaLevavos to give a pirush on the whole world. He's explaining pshat in the line in the Chovos HaLevavos that's talking about a pasuk that quotes the pasuk of a rachamim. So that's why I dealt with rachamim dafka. But you're right, avada. If you have ava, if you love somebody, it's because that mid of ava came from Hashem in achinami. Now that you have to take that out, give a chochem a little bit, and you'll build a big thing out of that in achinami. Every positive midi you now have, is an expression of Hashem's midi in the world in achinami for sure.
Fine,
but you can't ask him to do that. You can't ask him to do that because that's not what his job was here. He was, he can't say shama v'zokah b'dibarechot.
That's fine. So that's why he's focused it on rachamim. But we can say that it applies to everything, and it's important to tie it in with your bechira, because then it's like saying that you're not doing anything. It's saying ain't on mavada. You have to understand where you fit in that picture.
So there's a big kashya, obviously, and it's late, so we're going to grapple. Obviously, you mentioned bechira. So once you step into bechira, you step into a major, major world. And obviously we can't go into all of that now, but there's a major kasha here, and that is so where's the avoidus hamidas? We know that the big chunk of Yiddishkeit, the big chunk of why we're in this world, is the avoidus hamidas. But the midas are all just from Hashem. So what's the avoid in midas now? The good midas I got from Hashem, the bad midas I got from Hashem, for sure. Not because Hashem has bad midas. That's another question we have to deal with. But that's part of the question of how's the evil in the world bichlal? If Hashem created the world, then there's only Hashem in the world. So how can there be evil in the world if it's ain't all mivad? It means even the evil's Hashem, that can't be. Okay, and there is evil in the world. Don't think that it's all just, we mentioned this before, that it goes all the way down. It goes all the way through. There are certain things in the world that are evil. You have to cut them off and chop them off and throw them away. We're stepping way out of, off the radar screen of what we're supposed to be doing here. But there is that kasha, for sure. In a world of Einod Milvadoi, where's there room for Bechira? Where's there room for Avoida? Where's there room for growth, for change? That's a big problem. How do you have Bechira? Okay, fine, that's an old, major difficult, that's a major big problem, and then that's the kasha, that's we have to deal with Bechira. But at the end of the day, without understanding the philosophy behind it, we all know we have Bechira, and we all know it's Einod Milvadoi. And as we mentioned, I don't know where we dealt with it even. We mentioned, we brought in
Rav Talbesvav.
We dealt a little bit with the Nefesh HaChaim there in Shah Gimel, the way he has Agdoma to an impossibly difficult sugya that you can't understand. We'll approach it the same way. Yeah, we'll put it on the table. We'll allow it to sit, and we'll fan the flames, and we'll mitasek with a little bit, and we'll learn every day. We'll learn a little bit more, and we'll grow, and we'll develop with it. But in Chinami, that's the Yisodia. If you feel that you have these good midas, this rachamim and this love and this caring for other people, not that you should ignore it. Chas v'chilila, use it, develop it. Use it. You have a yetzer hara that's going to get you not to act on your midah of rachamim. You walk down the street and you have this bursting feeling of rachamim for the poor guy sitting on the street there, the beggar, yeah? And your yetzer hara will get you to turn your head away and ignore him as well. And the minute you're out of range from the honor, you'll feel terrible that you didn't go and help him. We know that. That's with everything. That's the whole struggle of Bechira. You have the meter, you know it's the right thing to do, so why don't you do it? Yeah, well, because there were other forces that were pulling you not to do it, and you have a struggle.
I hear what you're saying. It just throws me off a lot of the time when we hear that then tied in with Anod Mavada. It kind of throws you into that realm of then what am I and what matter? Like you said, you elaborated on it. You can apply it to anything.
That's what we dealt with in Shah Gimel in Achinami. That's
something to work on and get it a bit more clear, just because it seems to come up everywhere in every place.
You can't get away from it. You can get away from it. You can forget about Imun and Betochen, and you can carry on living your life like most people live their lives. You just carry on live your life, you know, like a cockroach, you know. You just do, you know, and you get on. You don't. But if you really want to build a relationship with a cockroach, I mean, this was Adam Arishon's dilemma. A major dilemma for Adam Arishon. Independent? Is independent? Did he have Bechira? Didn't he have Bechira? Yeah, these are not new questions. But like we said, you can't pick it up. You can never really grip. You can't understand it. It's impossible. You know, that's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. You'll die. You have to die before you can understand this stuff. You know, so understand what you can. Grapple with what you can. Don't pick up the coal. Fan it. Warm yourself on it. Learn a bit more. Grow and develop. And slowly, you understand a bit more. And Hashem gives you Satid Ishmael to understand a little bit more. You know.
Look, as much as you say that, you need to have a place for it. You have to understand how it fits in.
You have to know how to learn Shah Gimel in the Nefesh HaChaim. Well, before you even start anything. Way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You first have to open up the Nefesh HaChaim, and you have to go through Shah Gimel, which is an incredibly difficult limud, unbelievably difficult limud. Find a Rebbe and go through Shah Gimel in the Nefesh HaChaim. And that's the question he grapples with. That's exactly the question he grapples with. Can you say Shema in the bathroom? Why not? Einod Milvadoi. The bathroom is just as kodesh as the kodesh hakadoshim. It's Einod Milvadoi. Yeah, but you're not kodesh, and you chayv miss if you say Shema in the bathroom. That's what he says. But one second. But it's Einod Milvadoi. The bathroom's got no more or less kedusha than the kodesh hakadoshim. It's all just one thing. That's the kasha. That's what he's grappling with in Shah Gimel. And he says, you have to be very careful. He says, you shouldn't even learn that sugya. You're not even bothered by these questions. And he says, the only reason he deals with it is because there's so many people out there that have got the wrong way of dealing with it. He felt compelled because they are. Unfortunately, there's some terrible, terrible, terrible misconceptions about how to learn that sugya. So he took the time out. The Reb Chaim Volozhin took the time out to grapple with that sugya. You want to start a Nefesh HaChaim Vaad, b'vakasha, but find somebody else to give it, because I'm not giving a Nefesh HaChaim Vaad, certainly not in Shah Gimel. Shah Aleph, maybe you'll get me to make a fool of myself, but to make a fool of myself in Shah Gimel, you must be mad. Rav Leuchter, by the way, has a Moedika series. It's in Hebrew. I don't know if he's got it in English. I don't know. Go to his website and have a look. You have to write to them. You need a password to get into the Nefesh HaChaim Vaad, but he goes through there, if you resonate with him, whatever. Rav Reichler wrote a sefer on Nefesh HaChaim, but he has ongoing vadim every week on Chovas.
Oh, please, will you WhatsApp it to me? I'd love to get away to get involved in that.
He gives a vad. They're recorded. You don't have to go to the vad when he gives it. They're all recorded. They're on his website. He's got an unbelievable. Somebody who's running his system there for him is unbelievable. I mean, the Vadim are put up on his website within an hour of the shift finishing. They're there. They're Gevaldik. Unbelievable. Sure. And he has a whole, I mean, he has the courage. You have to be Rav Leuchter. I mean, you have to have sat by Rav Volbi's feet for many years to have the courage to give a Vad on Shah Gimel and the Nefesh HaChaim. I mean, there's, I was zoche to learn Nefesh HaChaim with Rav Tetz, but we blunged through Shah Gimel quickly, but he never. Rav Leuchter spends a lot. He goes through it. I'm sure that's where. Whatever I know about the sugi, a little bit I know about the sugi, I learned from him. So, but anyway, here's these vadim on Shah Gimel, and they're there. I personally, it's hard. I just know that I can't understand it, and I know that there it is, and each day, I understand a little bit more, and then I realize I didn't understand what I thought I understood, and. It's an ongoing development thing. Lamaisa, practically, I prefer grappling with the stuff we're grappling with, because that gives me the Lamaisa. The Shah Gimel is an unbelievable limud. It's fascinating. It's gewaldic. It's geschmack like anything, but it's whatever. I don't know. But I'll send you the link, and you can go in there and see how you want to deal with it. The Hebrew. I don't know if he's got Shah Gimel in English. I don't remember. Right now he's in the middle of a series in Shah Gimel in Hebrew. In English he's in Shah Aleph somewhere. I stopped listening a while ago. I didn't have time. But in the first wave of the bidud, you know, of the quarantines, whatever, I had a lot of time on my hands, and somebody sent me those shirim, and I listened to them. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Anyway,
appreciate it. Thanks for the explanation. Appreciate it.
All right, Rabosa. Take good care. All the best.
Be well, Rav.
Thank you, Rav.
All the best, Rabbi Fram.